Now, the French government will impose a total ban on pupils using mobile phones in both primary and secondary schools from next September. Now, the stats say that some 93% of 12 to 17-year-olds in France own a mobile phone. So is this a realistic initiative? Should we consider even thinking about following suit? Our technology correspondent Jess Kelly has been looking at this. You can see why they might want to do it, but is it practical?
I think when I read this initially, you know, I was thinking, look, absolutely something needs to be done. I've been in schools all over this country and I've spoken about the amazing thing technology does. But I also hear from the teachers and the principals that the phones on campus is a bit of a headache, because what's happening is not only are the kids distracted or, you know, texting on the desk during class time, it's also associated obviously with the cyberbullying thing. So, you know, we've had instances of things being put up on Snapchat or SimSimi or whatever it may be. So,
and then at break time, no social interaction, everyone's face stuck on the phone.
Absolutely. And look, there's no denying, I'm not here to say it's not a problem. It is a massive problem. And I think something does 100% need to be done. I think a blanket ban is a bit too extreme. So what they're saying, what the French government are saying, exactly what you said there, you know, kids, they're not interacting at break time. The face is in the screen and that's all they're doing. However, some parents, and I was interested to read this, some parents and some teachers were saying, you know, a total ban is too far. Kids need to be allowed to live in their time. So, you know, when I was in school, it was all about the Pokemon cards or the Pogs. Now it's just the smartphone. And, you know, the headmasters of some schools have come out saying, you know, the loss of concentration is a big problem too. There's no denying there are issues associated with it. I just wonder about the nature of a total ban. I think it's going to create more problems than it will solve. If you look at, you know, Chris Rock, the comedian Chris Rock, he's introduced a thing whereby you place your phone into a box that can't be unlocked during his show. You need to leave the arena to unlock the box. Why not give the kids like one of those, so they can still have their phone on their person in case of an emergency or in case something happens, and it can be unlocked if they go outside the school grounds or whatever it may be. I just think a blanket ban is a bit too extreme.
Like, they're in some classrooms, they have a box, everyone puts their mobile phone in and retrieves it at the end. This is the theory, where it's already in use.
Yes.
And then you find that you've got a less good phone left.
Yes.
Someone's taken your own phone.
That's another problem too. And, you know, the other side of this as well, last week we heard on this programme from the girls of Rockford Manor Secondary School, we were talking to them about coding, and the principal told me that they've actually started to use smartphones in a number of the lessons. So at the music lesson, for example, every girl takes out her smartphone and uses a tuner app to tune up her instrument. So there are benefits to it.
Yeah.
I just wonder about the blanket ban. I don't think a blanket approach.
It's interesting. I found this this morning. Chamath Halepitiya, former vice president of user growth at Facebook, has expressed regret for his part in building tools that destroy the social fabric of how society works. He feels tremendous guilt over his work on tools that are ripping apart the social fabric of how society works, joining a whole raft of critics. He said the short-term dopamine-driven feedback loops that we have created are destroying how society works. No civil discourse, no cooperation, misinformation, mistrust. And he said it's not about Russian ads. This is a global problem. It's eroding the core foundation of how people behave and between each other.
This is something, and again, we've spoken about this in the past, and we've spoken it at a very basic level, in that nobody is teaching our kids how to cop on online. Nobody's teaching them how to behave online. Nobody's teaching them how to interact online. We are being, you know, force-fed a lot of information from brands that we would, you know, have always respected, but now suddenly there's fake stuff going up on Facebook, and then we start to question what is real and what's not real. I do think the tide is turning ever so slightly on social media. Again, I'm not going to go out of the studio now and to walk away from all of my accounts. What I have done, however, is taken a step back. And you don't believe everything that you read straight away. You also have to look again, and it's a big worry for me because I've got a lot of young family members, look at how kids interact with each other, particularly when they do have the phones. If you've got young relatives, you know, whether they're in like 10, 11 or in their early teens, they've completely transformed how they talk. The language that they use is all about the phone now. It's all lols and awks and all that kind of stuff. So it is having a massive impact, but there's a very, very serious side to this too.
Yeah, Sean Parker, one of the founders of Facebook, says he thinks the company exploits a vulnerability in human psychology by creating a social validation feedback loop. He says he's something of a conscientious objector to the use of the the media that he helped to found. So there you
It's very interesting. And like, again, to bring it back to Ireland, you know, Shane O'Mara, who's a neuroscientist here, he works down at Trinity College. He always said to me, like years ago when I first met him, he was saying, the thing with Facebook is, it's like being in a casino in Las Vegas. What happens is you put up a picture and you get a like, and you get a little kick in your brain from that like. So you put more stuff on, up on Facebook to get those likes. And it is, it's like winning at the casino. And what's worrying is that it's become the utter, the utmost attention-seeking tool. You know, there was, I've seen people in the last few days putting up all kinds of status, looking for the you okay hun, which is the, you know, like, are you okay? Do you need some attention? Do you need a bit of sympathy? Rather than just, you know, back in my day when I was a child, you just text someone or you call someone going, look, I'm not having a good day, rather than the fishing for the likes and the fishing for the sympathy. It just doesn't sit well with me. I'm very happy that these types of conversations are happening. I don't want people now to start going, oh, I told you so. I told you that social media was no good. I think we just need to have an intelligent conversation, looking at the pros and the cons, because there are both there.
Okay, you have brought in a phone, Vodafone Smart V8.
Yeah, so technology is bad, but let's get some more of it in our lives. So there's the Vodafone Smart V8. And again, earlier this year, we spoke about Three's own branded phones and we were really impressed by them. And again, this is a 5.5-inch screen device from Vodafone and it is beautiful to look at. It looks a little bit like, do you remember the iPhone 3? So this was the third generation iPhone and it kind of had the swollen back a little bit and a really nice screen.
Yeah, but that's a lot bigger.
It's a lot bigger. So 5.5-inch screen. Everybody wants the big phones these days, so that's the way they're going. Internally, there's a 3000 milliamp battery, which has impressed me no end. There's 3 gigs of RAM internally, 32 gigs of storage. There's also the space for a micro SD slot if you want to boost that up a little bit. The camera is 16 megapixels and you can also capture 1080p video. All
How
of
much?
That. Just guess, like for all of those.
Do you have to sign up to Vodafone for this though? To
so
get
the
this
price that I'm going to give to you now, you do need to be a Vodafone customer, but it's pay as you go, so it's not, you're not entering a contract or anything like that.
Okay, how much? 300?
200 euro.
200 euro.
Yes, which I think is very impressive because if you think about 3 gigs of RAM, a decent battery life, a beautiful screen, I just think it's a very, very good, you know, if somebody wants the likes of the Samsung S8 or they can't afford the 1,000 euro price point of the new iPhone, this is definitely a contender. I've been using it for the last few days and with these things, you always go in a little bit skeptical, looking to find a flaw. I always want to find something to kind of, that niggles at me, but I honestly haven't found it. The only thing, if I was to be super critical, and this is me just making things up now at this stage, the power on button is on the left hand side rather than the right hand side, and if you use
I am so fussy,
how do you not know this already? But if you use, you know, a Samsung phone or if you use an iPhone, the button is on the right, so it's just my muscle memory being extremely lazy and that's me grasping at straws to find flaw.
Some of the queries coming in, could you ask Jess if it's worth upgrading to a Samsung S8 Plus from that to the Note 8?
No. Not from the Samsung S8 Plus to the Note. No.
I mean, with the Note, you get
the stylus and stylus, stuff like that. Yeah, no, but I mean, like, that's like going, no. So we are. No.
Could you ask Jess when the Nokia 3310 3G will be available?
They are making some big announcements in the next few weeks, so it may be one of those. I don't have an exact timeline as of yet. I wouldn't be rushing out to get one though, to be honest. From what I've seen, it's a very, very, very basic phone, so I kind of would consider something else.
It was to be the basic phone, but now they'd be adding in smartness.
Yeah, and it's not built for that. The interface is not built for that. It's built for snake texting and the odd call. That's about the height of it.
Any truth in the rumour that Alexa is coming to town?
So, I have it on good authority that it is, but...
Explain to our listeners, what is Alexa?
So, Alexa is, it's the smart home assistant from Amazon. So, you can walk into your kitchen and be like, Alexa, put on Pat Kenny, and your voice will come booming out of Alexa and it'll fill your entire kitchen and it'll be glorious. You can also say, you know, Alexa, remind me to buy eggs on the way home. You'll get a notification then of to buy eggs on the way home.
And what device powers this? Who are you talking to? What are you talking to?
Oh, sure, Lizzie. You know, you could ask the same of, you know, when you're praying to God, who you're talking to. It's the same kind of thing. It's the technology gods, basically, that you're talking to.
But
it's
I mean,
an Amazon
what
device.
What picks up your voice to do
so
this?
It's a speaker. So it's kind of, it's shaped like a tennis ball can and there's a speaker there and it listens out for your voice. And you train it to listen out and you can use keywords.
And effectively, it's Wi-Fi'd into the internet.
Yeah, exactly. It's connected to the internet. It's always on and it's ready there when you need someone to chat to. There are a lot of rumours that it's coming to Ireland. I have been on to the Amazon press office a few times and they haven't got back to any of my emails. I've got it on good authority that it's either coming this side of Christmas or else very, very soon after Christmas.
Okay. Could you recommend a starter level smartphone? I currently have a 12-year-old Nokia.
Yeah, I would recommend the Huawei Y6. It costs around €120 or thereabouts, and it's a solid, starter smartphone.
Someone else asking about the HP Sprocket printer. You're a fan, I know already. Are
huge
you?
Fan of it. Yeah. One of the girls got it in the office as well, and we were playing around it. It's great fun.
Any reason why my iPad Mini keeps cutting out on Google Chromecast, but when I switch to watching the same thing via my Huawei phone, it works perfectly? Is the problem on the iPad?
It could well be on the iPad. Just check that the Chromecast app is updated and that you've updated the latest software. It's usually something silly like that. Go into your app store and make sure all of the apps that you're using, whether it's Netflix or whatever, is updated. And if that doesn't fix us, drop us an email to patkenny@newstalk.com and we'll try and help you out.
And indeed, Jess will help with all your queries to that address. Jess Kelly, thank you very much.